Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Erin Montgomery. Before I bring her on, I want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on Odyssey and on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you can get all of our premium content, all of our regular shows, and all the premium content from all the amazing content creators on Rockfin. Just click the link in the description, or you can visit rockfin.com/FKNplus. Finally, if you're reaching that gray hair stage in your life, check out C60 Purple Power. C60 may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. I've been taking it for a little over a year now, and I feel amazing. You can even get C60 for your pets. It's had amazing effects for our senior dog, including shrinking her tumors. Just click that link in the description. You can get 10% off your order, plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome Erin Montgomery. She works as a marriage counselor and family counselor by day and does healings, readings, and shamanic energy work after hours. Following in the footsteps of Yvonne Smith and others, she is actively working towards being able to help other alien contactees come to terms with and perhaps learn from their unique experiences. Erin, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've been looking forward to this. I think some of the most important evidence that we can have in ufology and the paranormal right now is testimony of contactees and experiencers like yourself, and, you know, kind of bringing this together with the nuts and bolts researchers and the consciousness community. And I think we could probably learn a whole lot more about this phenomenon if we could bring those fields together, along with, you know, the evidence and testimony of people like yourself. And you've been a very long time experiencer, right? Since childhood?
That's right. My earliest memory is from about 4 years old.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been an experiencer a long time, and I agree with you. I think that we're at a point in time where, you know, we've got people seeing things, experiencing things. Then you've got the research going on with the consciousness level. And then you've got these people that have direct experiences that speak to these things that are being found out in the scientific research, and putting it all together into one place and one bigger level of understanding is really going to push this all forward and help people understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I think the helping people understand part is one of the biggest things for me, because I've been looking into this for years. I've had a couple of experiences myself, and I'm nowhere near understanding any of it. I feel like I understand a little bit more with them when I first got into it, but as far as the bigger picture, I have no idea what's going on. But I'd love to hear about some of your earliest experiences. Maybe we could start with some of your first experiences and tell us about what they were like, maybe.
Sure. And going along with the idea of expanded consciousness and things like this, where you are outside of time, the experiencer, let's say the contactee's experiences, instead of saying experiencer's experiences, I mean, the word gets redundant, but it is outside of time. I do not experience these things in a linear fashion. Yes, my first memory is from 4 years old, but I didn't remember that until recently. And so flashes and understandings and things happen now, but it was in the past. It gets really complex and difficult to explain on a linear and on a linear timeline. However, yes, my first memory is from about 4 years old. I was in a room that was very, very white, very sterile. There was a round doorway to my right. I was seated on the floor with several other children, and we were manipulating blocks, almost like playing catch, but very slowly and using our mind. And the next thing I recall is a small gray type being passing by the doorway with another little boy, who like indicated, "Hey, I know you." And then he kept on walking with the gray. And that is like a 30-second little burst of memory. That's the earliest experience that I
That's really interesting. I've had a few contactees and experiencers that have had similar experiences in childhood, to where they're in like this classroom or learning type environment where they're being shown blocks or images or certain screens of films, even just kind of like a classroom type environment, which I find very interesting. Do you have any other memories going back that where you were brought to the same environment?
I do have memories of being in these learning environments, not necessarily in that white room, but in more of a gymnasium type of room. And the details are like really specific, as I recall them in a regression. And so it's pretty fresh in my mind. But it was a very large room. The floors were dark, almost like a black color. The room itself was like a geodesic dome. Very high ceiling, very rounded, and there were a support system around this dome that was hexagonal in shape, so it looked almost like a honeycomb pattern across the ceiling. The pipes that were securing this were red and blue, and I could see the stars on the other side. I mean, it's like a real vivid memory of what this room looks like. And there were several podiums around the room, and behind the podium was a being, and in front of the podium was a child. And I was taken up to one of these podiums, and this is where I was taught how to manipulate gravity and was able to, rise up and kind of fly around the room. I remember the being I was working with, who is a very tall being. He maybe 7 feet tall, something like that, very tall. His skin, if you've seen ET, at the point where he gets sick and his skin is that mottled white pinkish color, that's what this guy looked like. His face was not like a typical gray shaped face. It was more flat and elongated and had very round eyes kind of high up. I call him a tall white being. I don't know what anybody else would call this being, but in my head, I'm like, well, maybe this is a tall white. And he had on a jumpsuit, but he's the one that was teaching me. And I remember him getting irritated with me because I was having too much fun and I didn't want to settle back down. He's like, come on, you gotta land and we've got other things to do. And it was at that point in time that he taught me about the energy centers in the body, like what we would call chakras. One of the fascinating things is I think I was about 10 years old, 10 to 11, at the point that this happened. And I remember consciously at that age, because I did recall this in a regression, but consciously at the age around 10 or 11, being in elementary school with my friends outside saying, hey, pick me up, you know, and one of my friends would pick me up and put me back down. And then I would shift my weight a little bit and say, okay, pick me up again. And they couldn't do it. And I would let it go and say, all right, pick me up again. And they could pick me up, put me down. And I'd shift just a little bit, just like a little subtle movement in my mind and with my body. And then they couldn't do it. So it makes me wonder, was I retaining that lesson of manipulating gravity?
I was just about to ask you if, you know, what type of abilities did you have while you were having these experiences, and did you take these with you and have any experiences with these abilities in your normal living life?
That's the only one that I am aware of I was able to bring back into this reality. There's times where I've thought I should be able to move objects, and I've tried. You know, sitting there staring at things and nothing is moving. And I'm like, this is really frustrating.
You know, I've done that too.
I feel like I should be able to do this. And time and time again, I've tried and I never can. The things that I have been able to retain is like communications, the telepathy, especially with other experiencers. Empathy. I don't know if that is because of contact or if it's just part and parcel to who I am, just being able to feel people's emotions, physical pains, and all of this, all of these things. But that in particular, you know, just makes me think, okay, so I was taught something on ship and then recalled it later and was able to use it. And so, yeah, I find it fascinating that I was able to do that.
That is. And you described one of the types of beings that you had experiences with. What other types of beings do you remember during, you know, that time period in this learning environment?
Honestly, he's the only one that I recall. And then when I was four and on the floor playing with the blocks, I don't remember any beings except for the one that walked by, who was more of the, you know, 3.5 foot gray type being with the big eyes and the elongated head. In the learning environment, that's it. That's all I got.
Now, yeah. Growing up, you also had a mix of paranormal experiences as well, right?
I have. I've had very strange paranormal experiences my whole life. Hearing my name being called, having a very odd moment of added time, learning how to astral travel, you know, ghostly experiences, hauntings, all sorts of things have happened around me. And it doesn't matter where I'm at, you know, it just seems to be, you know, people say, are you going to a haunted home? No, I think that I'm the one that's haunted or something. You know, it's just that it always happens around me. And I know that it is very common for experiencers to have these things happen around them.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's very interesting that there's this connection between the paranormal and these UFO experiences and contact experiences and people that experience them. I was talking with somebody the other day that you could have someone that's seeing an apparition right in front of them or a UFO, and a person that never has any of these types of experiences is standing right next to them and they don't see anything. They don't know what they're talking about. I've heard of things like this all the time, and I've even experienced things like this. So what do you think is happening there? Why do you think some people are just maybe in tune to different frequencies? What do you think?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that when we are exposed to these experiences that are going to expand the consciousness, whether it's like a near-death experience, whether it is like even a traumatic event that will shift how we perceive the world around us, or ET contact. Any of these things kind of expand our senses in a way. We're no longer just using the natural five senses, because, you know, and I added trauma in there because there are many, many people that I have met who have had traumatic experience, not necessarily, you know, ET contact, but they have developed like a precognition or empathy, and they're very easy to judge a room, like, okay, somebody in here is angry, and that's they have to, if they have trauma, like say from like a domestic violence experience or something like that, or if they were abused as children, being able to judge the emotions in a room just upon entering is going to be a safety mechanism. I find it fascinating that these things develop through these modes of contact, or, you know, whatever it is, these expanded moments of experience, I guess. You know, there's things outside the norm, and we've all of a sudden adapted to be able to perceive these things, and I think that is why we can perceive them, and somebody who has not had anything like this happen cannot. I have been in a room with people that have some abilities but haven't developed them enough. They have some perception and be able to describe what I'm experiencing, and have them describe what they are feeling in the moment and be able to add it too. Like, I remember I was with a friend who had lost somebody recently, and I said, okay, I just felt somebody enter the room. I can feel their presence. And my friend said, oh, okay. My ears just kind of popped, like the pressure changed in the room. I said, there you go. That was your indication. Yes, that happened. There was a shift in here and you perceived it. And being able to say, okay, I feel that too. And then being able to, they can hone in on that, and that starts that expansion, understanding, okay, there is something else here. What else do I feel? And just taking that moment and diving into it, it's pretty special, you know, in that moment, for those who are not used to being able to perceive these things.
Right. And I'm sure, like even for you, that in the beginning, these experiences can be traumatic for people if they don't understand them, if they don't really know what's going on. I know that you have had actually quite a few experiences that probably were traumatic for you, and you look back and they may not be as bad, or maybe they were even positive experiences. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. You know, I've explained this to you before, like there's several different categories of experiences I've had. They're the loving, educational, gentle things that I've experienced. There have been things that have been scary for me, just because I was a child, or just it was completely unfamiliar and I was in a, you know, went into a fear state, but they weren't necessarily bad. And then I've had horrible, awful experiences that, you know, that are just pure trauma on that side. But, you know, there's those things that have happened to me, like around the age of 7, when I had an implant put in, they were not trying to harm me. They did not want me afraid, but I was afraid. And that moment did cause trauma.
Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Sure. This was something that was recalled during a regression, hypnotic regression with Yvonne Smith. And I purposely went to her as I was experiencing traumatic symptoms. I was not sleeping. I was starting to not be able to function. I was very paranoid, could not turn off the lights. You know, at night, I was afraid something was going to come and get me, that, you know, that paranoid feeling, okay, just leave me alone. Don't come tonight. Just let me sleep. And I understood I was a contactee at that point. And I told her, I need to go back to this moment where the trauma happened. I have got to put it to bed because I need to sleep and I need to start functioning. And that's where I went, was to the age of 7. This was in my hometown of Montrose, Colorado. I was 7 years old, and I remembered a light coming through the window that was really, really bright, and I thought it was the moon, and like, why is the moon so bright? And it was at that point that I realized that there was a being standing right by my bed, right at my head, and had a very feminine feel. I don't know if these beings have gender, but it was a very nurturing and kind feeling, and she felt familiar to me. And she said, you know, you don't need to worry, we're just going to go have some fun. And I'm like, oh, okay. And there was a being at my feet, and then there was a being at my door. And the one at my feet kind of put his hands underneath my feet, and I was able to levitate me just by touching my foot. And I levitated on my back, feet first, and floated me into the hallway. And the three beings and I ascended up towards the ceiling, and then through the ceiling, through the roof, and out of the house. And I was able to see there was like this beam of light, which is what was bugging me, keeping me up, because it was what was so bright, was coming out of like an aperture in the bottom of this disc shaped craft. And we ascended through, you know, up the light and into the ship. I remember them kind of like floating me over, felt like a conveyor belt, almost just kind of moving me over till I got to like a hallway. The hallways were all very round. Everything was very round and metallic and very sterile, very similar to when I was little, and the rooms were, but it was white. I remember white when I was little. This one was more metallic. Like what it would be like on the inside of a milk truck, if you think about that, just very smooth, sterile, metallic. And I was maneuvered down a hallway and into a room on the left-hand side. Why I remember that, I don't know, but it was very much like a dentist or a dental theater. There was a chair that looked like a dentist chair. There were like almost like a cabinets and things along the wall, and countertops, what I perceived, instruments on them and things like that. I was put into the chair and didn't have any thoughts or feelings until they started to like secure me into the chair, and I started to become a little bit nervous. And it was at that point in time that another being walked into the room who did not look like these three beings, did not feel like these three beings. It was very tall, and I went into like an immediate panic. I think because of my fear state, I cannot quite recall exactly what his face looked like, but I know that he was very, very tall and thin. He had on a jumpsuit similar to the tall white that I saw when I was a little older. But he was much thinner, and I want to say his head was triangular, and there were moving mouth parts on the bottom, which makes me wonder, was this a mantid type? But it was very insect-like, and yeah, I freaked out, and I just remember that being like telepathically telling the other ones, if you don't calm her down, you're going to have to take her back. Wow. And yeah, and that's when the female being kind of, you know, leaned across me, and I don't really remember what happened, but she was able to calm me down. And that is when the tall, skinny being approached me and inserted this, it was like a pink gelatinous blob looking thing to me. It, you know, I didn't see like anything metallic or anything. I just saw this weird biological mass coming towards me, maybe the size of a dime is what my mind calls up. And it was in this like silver fork like thing, about maybe a foot long. And that's what they inserted into the roof of my mouth. After the procedure, he left the room. I was unstrapped, and the female being took me by the hand. We looked out the window, and it was very peaceful and sweet, and got to see how beautiful the earth looked from above. And then I was returned to my bed. From what I have been able to tell, the implant is for communications, just so I can communicate with these beings. And so therefore not necessarily a negative thing. And I really was not hurt in the process. I do not remember anything besides being afraid of this being. And that really is what set off the trauma in me. And after the regression and coming back to, Yvonne said, I've heard this story two other times before. Same thing with the dentist chair, the implant in that same spot. And so, you know, I came out of that saying, okay, I'm not crazy. you know, I knew I was an experiencer, but I didn't know I was an experiencer, you know, until that moment. And it really put a lot of things to rest. And honestly, I was able to sleep after that and haven't had any problems sleeping.
That's really fascinating. I've heard such similar accounts, especially with the mantis or insect-like beings, the taller beings being in either some type of position of power or like scientist or doctor or something like that along those lines in so many encounters, which I find really, really interesting. Have you had any other encounters with these like insectoid-type beings?
There's only one other thing that I recall, and honestly, the recall happened about the same time as the recall of when I was about 4 years old. So, you know, given the last year, I remember being about 6 years old in a room, again, very round room with round door. There was two round doorways across from me. I was seated on a bench, and I was about six. About 6 years old, and for whatever reason, I remember being in my underwear, and there was a little boy sitting next to me, also in underwear, and I remember us being so terrified, we were kind of clinging to each other. And the only other thing I remember about the room itself was that the floor was like emanating black. It was like absence of light, and it made it look kind of foggy coming up from the floor, and then the rest of the room was like a red color. It's a very strange way to describe a room, but it was like anti-light and then like a glow of red above us, and then two of these very tall beings that looked very similar, mantid types, came one through each doorway, and they picked us up and separated us, and I just remember being terrified of that as well. So that's it. That's all I've got.
That's super fascinating. What age did you really start to kind of maybe have a little understanding that you're dealing with extraterrestrials, and you know, when did you decide to get regressions done?
I was 19 at the point that I started to say, okay, there's something to this. You know, I had had those weird paranormal experiences my entire life. Ramping up as a teenager, I had a moment where I was late coming home one day. I was a teenager. I was out at my boyfriend's house like, oh, crap, I'm late. I have to get home. And I drove home and got home like 15 minutes before I left somehow. I don't know. It's always stuck in my head, like, okay, something weird happened there. And then I would have sensations of slamming back down into my bed. So I was convinced at the age of 17 that I was levitating and like, I'm levitating or something. And now I understand that's not what was going on. But at 19 years old, I was attending New Mexico State University in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And there was a lecture being given by a man about UFOs and state documents and things like that. And I thought, I really want to go see this. I'd always been fascinated by UFOs at this point. And I get in there, sat down, listened to the lecture. I know who it is now that I was speaking. It was Stanton Friedman. Of course, when I was 19, I had no idea who he was. But something shifted in me that night from fascination with the topic to terror. And by the time I left, I was afraid to look at the sky. And I had walked to this lecture at that point, and it was dark out, and I had a hard time. And so whatever it was just shifted, and I knew. And I actually did have an experience that night. And it developed through my 20s, like little bits and pieces of memories coming back. Encounters that were happening that I was consciously aware of, or dream-like experiences with these beings. But it wasn't until my early 40s that I went in for a regression. So there were many, many years of experiencing things, remembering things, and living in this kind of a terror around
now,
it.
Have you ever had any experiences where you actually saw any unidentified flying objects before or around the same time?
No. I've seen ships and I've had experiences, but it's never, I've never like been outside, seen a ship and had an experience at that moment. Most of my experiences happen while I'm in bed. Like I'm in bed asleep. That's when my encounters happen.
Now, do you think these are more physical or more of just kind of your consciousness being taken in a way?
I think there's a good argument for a combination of both. I will have experiences where I have bruises and marks and, you know, punctures, like needle puncture wounds.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, how can those things happen if it's not physical? At the same time, I've got a camera in my room just because now that I'm okay with things going on, I'm curious. Like, I want to see what happens. And so I have a camera in my room. And there are times when I'll have contact with beings and remember it and recall it, but there's nothing on film. Either the camera has malfunctioned. One time the camera was turned on its head, so the lens was down, you know, on the desk that it was sitting on. And then other times there's things that will fly through the room, orbs, these weird squares, but no... You know, I am not taken out of the bed and returned there. So I don't know, is the answer to that, really.
That's interesting. Now, you've also had encounters that weren't too pleasant that may have involved possibly the military.
Correct. And that's, you know, one of those moments where it feels like a dream. This would have been in about 2012, 2013, I had already met Yvonne Smith at this time, because I lived for a long time in Roswell, New Mexico, of all places for an experiencer to end up. I lived there for 20 years. And it took me a long time, but I started to go to the festivals. I had met Yvonne and knew what she did. And at the time of the festival in about 2013, a friend of mine had gone and we were going to just get up and go the next day. So he slept on the couch and I went into my room and, you know, promptly went to sleep. And that night I had a dream. It felt like I woke up ish. And I was leaving the bedroom through the window, and I was wrapped in this weird gurney. You know, I've never experienced this before, but I was in a gurney and I felt the beings around me. And I remember thinking, okay, this is weird. Huh. You know, as I'm watching material pass over me, as I'm going outside, kind of black out. I came to with excruciating pain across my abdomen. It just kind of shot me awake. But I couldn't move, because, you know, when you're hurting in your stomach, you want to cover it up and cradle it. But I couldn't, because I was strapped onto a table of some sort. And, you know, it was more like a cot, not one like a metallic table you would find on ship that people, you know, it's not this sterile environment. I'm in a cot. And across my abdomen is a surgical tent. In a way, I could not see below it. I could see my feet, you know, and I could see the being. There were two very like tall gray beings at my feet, kind of like in between my legs, you know, like I was, you know, spread eagled in a way, like you would see a woman in stirrups type of thing. And and I was in a lot of pain, but I knew I was not alone in the room because I could hear other women that were also in pain. And I was able to manipulate my head enough to see that there were, yes, multiples of these cots in this room with the same thing happening to each one of us. And I saw a being approaching me, you know, from a distance coming towards me. And he appeared human. He was in fatigues. He had a white lab coat on and he was carrying a clipboard. He had gray buzz cut hair. He really looked military to me. He looked human. Whether he was or not, I don't know, but this is what I perceived. And I started yelling out, "Hey, you know, get me out of here. What's going on?" And he looked at me and then he looked away and went on about his business as if I didn't even exist. And in a way, that was worse than, you know, the pain that I was feeling. And it was horrible, absolutely horrible. And, you know, another thing that was striking at the time was I was not in that sterile environment. Like I said, I could actually saw rock walls, like I was underground. And when I woke up in the morning, I thought, oh, that was awful. That was a terrible, horrible nightmare, you know, but I had cramps along my stomach and I looked in the mirror and my eyes were swollen. You know, the eyelids were super puffy. I had broken blood vessels all around that, you know, under my eyes and across my eyelids and the bridge of my nose, like I had been crying really, really hard, and straining myself. And I had bruises on the inside of my thighs. So I was like, okay, that was not a dream. And it was at that point in time that I was no longer sleeping and I could, you know, and I couldn't sleep with the light off. I had, you know, I was up all night and I was starting to not function at work, miss work. And it was, you know, that's when I said, okay, Yvonne, we've got to do a regression. And I expected to go back to that moment that I actually had pretty good recall of, but no, it took me to the age of 7. So.
Now, did you have any other experiences that could have been military involvement or just negative entities?
Really, that's the only one that I have any significant recall of. I've had strange dreams of also being in these underground places where I'm trying to escape. I'm running away. And so it makes me wonder if I have had other experiences or I'm just trying to come to terms with these things. But yeah, that's the only one that I have recall of.
Now, something that I find interesting that's been in, I don't know, maybe 80-90% of contactee and abductees' testimonies is that these beings are wearing jumpsuits, whether they be little gray beings or tall beings or even insectoid beings. They're all wearing like form-fitting jumpsuits, some with emblems on them. Is this something that you've noticed with, you know, most of your contact experience, that these beings are wearing these jumpsuits?
I would say some of them do and some of them don't. You know, the mantid type being, the insect like being, had on a jumpsuit. The tall white who was teaching me had on a jumpsuit. But those are the only two I recall having jumpsuits. I don't remember like the grays working with me in jumpsuits. So. Yeah.
That's very
interesting. Yes and no, I guess, is the answer to that one.
The grays that you've worked with, did you find them more kind of robotic-like or more humanoid and biological? And were they smaller or taller?
I don't remember the robotic types at all. I don't have recall of those. The gray beings that I have had contact with, and one time I was awake and I knew they were coming. So I forced myself to stay awake. They were much smaller than what I would think of as, you know, a typical gray that's like 3.5 feet tall or whatever. I would say maybe 2.5 to 3 feet tall. They were very, very small, very small and very childlike. And the experience I had and recall the best, I have never felt that level of love in my life, you know, and in those three categories, this one's definitely in the very loving, gentle, amazing experience that I've had. And this would have been around 2002. I was standing outside with my mom during one of the meteor showers. It must have been like the Leonid. I think it was in August. And I had this sinking feeling like, oh gosh, something's going to happen tonight. I know it, but I'm going to stay up. I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to experience this, or I'm going to call myself crazy. And around 3 a.m. is when they came through my bedroom door, and there were three of them. But like I said, they were tiny, very, very small. And child, just, they had this enthusiasm and bounce about them. And definitely not robotic. If you've seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when the ship lands and it opens and the beings come out and they're just sort of skipping, there's very much what they were like. And, you know, they came in the room, and one of them actually crawled onto the bed that I was sitting on, and he came up close and put his hand up on my chest, and he told me, in 37, you're going to have some problems here. And I didn't understand what in 37 meant. But then everything kind of switched into this weird dreamlike state, and I was on ship and we were looking at mood rings. I don't know. It gets really bizarre. And I know that it's, you know, very common for these things to turn into some sort of astral thing that happens. But I would have been like 27 at the time. When I was 37, I did end up having a lump that in my chest that had to be looked at. And when that happened, I thought, maybe that's what he meant. Maybe that's what he meant, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, that could very well be. Now, is the communication between you and these beings, it's psychic communication? Whenever I've had my experiences, it was basically a meditative experience, and the entities that I was communicating with, it was like this emotion or feeling that I got, or kind of like mental imagery that I understood to be a language immediately. And it was this immediate type of communication to where I could ask a question and the answer would come before I was even done asking the question. Is that something similar to what you've experienced?
It really is. The other day, this would probably like be my most recent experience with contact. I was asleep and dreaming, and I was approached by a being who was teaching me about bees and how bees communicate in a hive mind type of fashion, and it has to do with vibration. So if you raise your vibration, then you can reach this consciousness level where you can tap into what we are thinking about, and if you can tap into our thoughts, then we can communicate that way. And it was fascinating being able to learn how that communication works. If I sit and I clear my mind and raise my vibration, you know, through, you know, a slight trance or meditation, the information is very, very easy for me to reach and grasp, and it does come in either words or pictures. But then I'm able to tell others, you know, what it is that I'm seeing. If somebody asks a question, I can just, it's almost just like reaching up and pulling the information out and giving it, okay, this is what is in this consciousness, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It does. And when is this, you know, contact and communication, is it really kind of ongoing? And have you gotten any basically profound messages from these beings recently?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It really is like just having a stream of information in my head. And anytime I want something or need even reassurance, whatever, it's there and available to me. It's like having constant, you know, it's almost like an angel devil on the shoulder type of thing. There is always communication happening. And some of the profound things that have come across recently, I would say in the past year since publishing my book, has been you as a people need to heal your traumas so that we can communicate with you without you guys being in a fear state. Because if you go into a fear state, we cannot talk. We cannot tell you why we are here, because you can't hear us. So we've got to work on those traumas, heal those traumas, and be able to communicate from a state of calm so that we can hear the messages without warping it due to panic or due to trauma. And so that is one thing that was really, really strong that came through recently. And then, you know, just a really fast thing that had happened. I was on a radio show with Jimmy Church. I was doing Fade to Black, and he was asking me pointed questions like, okay, so how do they get from here to there? Where are they from? How do they travel? What's going on? And instantaneous information I had was, that's irrelevant. And I was like, wow, okay. That's irrelevant. They're not traveling that way. It's not linear like you're thinking, you know. Right. It was cool just to have that instant answer right there.
Yeah, that is really cool. Now, for throughout your experiences, have you had any types of experience where it could have been some type of DNA or fertilization experiments? I've had quite a few contactees that say they've even met hybrid children on ships. Anything yes. similar to that?
Yes, absolutely. I have been through the whole thing, the whole gamut. When I was taken to the room, the gymnasium room, with the being that was teaching me the gravity manipulation, right before that, I was stripped of clothes and checked for fertilization issues and things like that, but I was right at puberty. And then I have had several times where I thought I was pregnant, but I wasn't. And then, you know, having all the symptoms and like, what is going on? And then only to have a dream of having a child. And then, you know, and I've been able to, you know, like, okay, it's about 3 months. Like, okay, I feel like I'm pregnant. 3 months later, I have the dream that a baby is taken. And then, of course, during that time when I was in that underground area with the other women that were calling out, I knew that they were taking a child at that point. So yes, the DNA harvesting and the creation of hybrids is very real to me.
See, things like that and different ancient stories and accounts that, you know, we could have been genetically modified thousands of years ago, and we may just be an experiment for extraterrestrials. They're just kind of looking after us all, you know, for thousands of years, and, you know, doing experiments, harvesting our DNA, making hybrids. What do you think about that possibility that we could just be a big experiment for extraterrestrials?
I think there's a lot to that. I think that we were created. There was some sort of purposeful changing of the DNA for whatever it was that they needed. You know, I've heard different stories, whether it was just to be miners for gold or, you know, whatever it is, there was a purpose behind us becoming who we are. You know, it goes back to the missing link. How did we get from here to here with the consciousness, you know, and things like that. And to me, it rings very true. Whether it's real, I don't know, but it rings true.
It does. Yeah, and the more I look into it and the more accounts I hear, it just brings me closer to that conclusion, especially when you look at all the connections with paranormal activity and metaphysical things that occur. If you look at hotspots like Skinwalker Ranch or Mount Shasta or Sedona, Arizona, these places that have like great paranormal energy and all these strange things happen around the same time, like you'll have UFO sightings or cryptid sightings, paranormal activity, all kind of concentrated into this one area. And being that it's all connected, I don't know, it makes me think that we may be under the control of some very highly intelligent species that has the control over our reality, basically.
Right. I would not be surprised at all. I think that we're only on the verge of fully understanding what's going on. And, you know, as you said earlier, what is this understanding? What is going on? And that's those things that we can only speculate about at this point in time. And I think that the research, especially with consciousness, is really starting to go there. And it's very exciting.
It is. And it's exciting that they are kind of coming out with this in the mainstream, and our own government is talking about UFOs, although I don't trust any of it. It's, you know, it's being painted as a threat. I really don't like this whole TTSA thing. I don't trust the people that are involved with it, but I pay attention to it because I think it's fascinating. I think the timing of all this information being released is very interesting. We're supposed to have more of it coming up in June, and I think it's kind of opening up people's minds to it, but I think it's very I have to be cautious when I look at this stuff. I don't know what's going on, and I think that there is some kind of agenda behind it. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, there's an agenda behind each and every being that is contacting any human. You know, there's an agenda that, whether it's genetics, whether it's manipulation, you know, we don't know. We just don't know what the agendas are. But the government itself is going to have an agenda, and that agenda may be different than the agendas that we are receiving as contactees. One of the things that I've been able to deduce, I mean, we don't know what these guys want. We don't know what they're after, but oftentimes contactees come back with particular messages, and those messages are, you know, to take care of the planet, you know, and work on conservancy and all of these things, clean your water, do those, you know, all the things to save and protect the planet. Another thing is, do not wage war, especially nuclear war, and love each other. And those things that we receive in mass, it's not just one or two experiencers, it's many experiencers that come back with these messages. And my thoughts are, well, then they can't be all that bad, you know, these beings. But, you know, thinking of what the government could be alluding to when we're thinking of creating a space force and you know, ideas of what we have to unify as a planet to protect ourselves from the outside enemies really makes me nervous. Like, really? Is that really... Are we really at that in danger, or is this a sham? I don't know. You know, that's where I get like, I'm not so sure, and I don't trust it either. So,
yeah, it's definitely something interesting to look at. Do you think that more people are actually having contact experiences now, or do you think it's just access to the internet and people are becoming more comfortable talking about it, or do you think there's actually an uptick in this kind of contact activity?
I'm not sure if there's an uptick in it, but definitely people are becoming more open to speaking about it, feeling more protected as they do so, or supported, which is hugely important. Knowing that you have a community that will accept you for who you are is hugely a relief for experiencers, and being afraid to talk because of, you know, the stigma around this. However, at the same time, I think that more and more people are all of a sudden becoming aware of it. It's almost like people are turning online, if that makes sense. I'm meeting more and more people who are connecting the dots. And oftentimes it is listening to another experiencer, such as myself, you know, anybody else that's on a podcast or a radio show, and explaining what has happened. And people are like, oh my gosh, I remember something similar to that. Oh my gosh, I've had those bruises. And then being able to say, oh shoot, this really has happened to me. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's just like that snowball effect. More people are feeling comfortable, so more people are talking, they're writing, they're publishing, it's getting out there more and more, and people are able to hear it and recognize it in themselves.
Something else I find really common amongst contactees and experiencers and people who just, you know, have stranger things happen in their life in general is synchronicities and the abundance of them in their lives, and that the fact that you pretty much have to follow them if they're going to appear there. I always have to follow any kind of strange thing that pops up in front of me that is pointing me a certain direction. I go there, and it usually ends up pretty good for me, you know. And I've had all kinds of strange things happen like that, especially in the past few years, kind of leading me in certain directions. Would you say, if you know, to follow those synchronicities if you're experiencing them?
Absolutely. Yeah. Some of those synchronicities can be numbers. A lot of people see the repeated numbers, 4-4-4, 1, 11-11, 2-2-2, whatever it is, pay attention and listen and, check your surroundings, what's going on right now or what's about to happen. The more of the synchronicities we can follow and understand, the more we understand how the universe or whoever these beings are communicating with us. I had one really intense series of synchronicities that happened to me a couple of years ago that helped me understand this is direct communication. I was at a paranormal conference, just a very small one in Santa Fe. And I was eating breakfast in the casino and the song Don't Stop Believing comes on. I happen to love Steve Perry. So Don't Stop Believing comes on the radio. I'm like, yeah, I love this song. This is cool. I look up and the guy across from me is wearing a t-shirt that says Don't Stop Believing on the back. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird. There's you a synchronicity. You would think that would be it. And yeah, it was cool. Later that afternoon, I was walking down the hallway and I had one of those strange sounds in my ears that happen often to contactees. It's just a tone that will start. And I like, oh, okay, I'm hearing the tone. And then that guy in that shirt walked by me. He like kind of passed me and I was able to see the shirt again. And I like, okay. So this is direct communication. I get it. You made the sound. I acknowledged it. And then there's the guy. So I knew it was, yeah. So, I mean, the synchronicities are communication. They're trying to get our attention.
Yeah. I had a fun one the other day where I was actually saying something and the TV person on the TV said the same thing that I said at the same time, and it was something that I was supposed to do later in the afternoon, and it just kind of helped me figure something out. So it was like, wow, that was really cool. So yeah, definitely got to follow those. Now you also do readings and shamanic energy work. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, about the time that I went to see Stanton Freeman when I was around 19 years old is when I began to do learn about tarot. So I've been doing tarot readings for almost 30 years at this point in time. And as I have developed it and learned it and begin to understand where the information is coming from in my mind in the readings, and oftentimes it is because of ET contact and the expanded abilities for telepathy and things like that, that it makes it easier for me. But also through contact, I have learned how to walk between dimensions, how to go into a trance state and go to a different place or a different time and heal somebody's past, like a past life, and just work on what happened at the time and shift energies around. Oftentimes around trauma, we will, like a piece of our soul will detach, and I'm able to go back and get all those pieces and heal the person so that they can continue forward in their life. And all of these things I think are directly related to my experiences because I was taught by them how to do this. I say shaman because I have no other idea what to call myself when it comes to these things. I don't know. I don't know what it is that I'm doing. I just know that it's energy manipulation. It has to do with interdimensionality and being able to step out of space-time and walk and figure out where it is I need to go that way. Yeah. So very it's cool. Real convoluted, but
no, I get it. That's great. And you're also going to be a presenter at this year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference. You're just going to be talking about your experiences through your life, right?
Yeah, basically, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be walking people through what it was like to live in the trauma state and come to terms with it through this shamanic lens and, understanding the healing that was happening on me on a very energetic level to come around to the other side and understand and accept and even embrace being in contactee.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in Laughlin. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. If people want to find out more about you and hopefully come out and meet us in Laughlin, what's the best way they can find out more about you and your work?
I have a website, erinmontgomery.net. You can always reach me through that. You can also find me on Facebook. Dirty Little Secret has its own page. You know, just have to make sure you see my face on there. I know there are other Dirty Little Secrets that are available. And then also I have a page for my shamanic work, which is Erin Montgomery, Multidimensional Messenger.
Awesome. Well, Erin, thank you so much again for coming on tonight. That was great. Look forward to talking with you at the conference, and hopefully we can have a little sit down there.
Wonderful. That would be great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have an excellent evening. And until next time, everyone, we'll see you soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.